At the top of the show today, Republicans in Michigan and around the country are locked in a debate over the party's direction and priorities. The division between centrists like Governor Rick Snyder and the GOP's Tea Party wing have grown more noticeable recently. In July, Wes Nakagiri of the Tea Party group Retake Our Gov told WKAR-TV's Tim Skubick that he supports a challenge to Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly at next year's GOP convention. Nakagiri and others complain that Governor Snyder's number two should present more conservative views that challenge Snyder's. Now, this and other differences have encouraged state Democrats over their election prospects in 2014. Last week, the Dems leaked a memo describing the Michigan GOP as, quote, coming apart at the seams. We thought we'd get the assessment of a longtime Lansing-based Republican consultant. Stephen Linder is the president of the Sterling Corporation, and Sterling currently works on strategy for Michigan's Senate Republican Caucus. Welcome to Current State, Steve.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Glad you came in. So is coming apart at the seams accurate, or are you going to mount a challenge to that assessment?
Well, you need to separate headlines from reality. So we have a Republican governor, a Republican secretary of state, a Republican attorney general, a super majority in the Senate, largest number of Republicans in the Senate in history, 26 to 12. You've got a sustained majority in the House. We have a majority Republican delegation in Congress. If that's coming apart at the seams, the Dems better hope we don't ever get our act together.
Well, seriously, though, I mean, you've got people like Wes Nakagiri who really would like to see somebody more conservative in the number two position, and the Tea Party doesn't appear to be going away anytime soon. How do you assess their influence in the larger party?
Well, first, let's talk about the Tea Party a little bit. We've really allowed Democrats to define what the Tea Party is. And of course, the Tea Party is not a party, it's a movement. Tea is an acronym, taxed enough already. If that's the case, then I'm Tea Party. I've been a small government, less regulation, low tax conservative for over 40 years. So anybody who thinks that they're not paying enough in taxes obviously wouldn't support the Tea Party. If the Tea Party had not materialized as a group of people who said enough, we've got enough of debt at the national level, government is too big, it's interfering in our lives, it's insidious, the map of the United States would look very, very different. It was because of this movement of people that woke up, got themselves involved in democracy, went out, worked the precincts, went to the polls, Republicans would not have the, I believe we've got 26 or 27 completely red states in the United States right now. We've got 31 Republican governors, and we have a majority at least in the House of Representatives. The Tea Party has been very good for the Republican Party. However, because it's a movement, there's a leadership vacuum, and it has been filled by people who really have not served the hardworking folks that got out and helped Republicans score victories over the last two election cycles. It has not served them very well. I know Brian Kelly. Lieutenant Governor Kelly is a good friend. He is one of the most conservative people I know. It is just preposterous that anybody would say that Lieutenant Governor Kelly is not conservative. And I also challenge the notion that a lieutenant governor should be a counterweight or a challenge to the governor. The lieutenant governor serves the governor. Governor Snyder picked him, and he picked him to serve him, and the lieutenant governor ought to be the pick and the choice of the governor.
For our listeners who missed it, I'd like to revisit your recent interaction with former Michigan GOP state rep Jack Hogendyke. Jack is the conservative ex-member of the House, a Ron Paul supporter. The differences between you two seem to capture the differences between the so-called mainstream Republicans on one side and those in or sympathetic to the Tea Party on the other. Isn't that accurate?
There's not really any philosophical difference between Jack and I, if you look at where we come down on issues. My issue with Jack, who, by the way, is a nice guy, he's a fine man, he's, you know, got very good values and principles, is that instead of helping us by becoming a positive force, Jack got caught up in all of the ne'er-do-wells within the Tea Party movement and started talking about litmus tests for Republicans. And really, the litmus test was not even a test. It was a moving line. Every vote became the vote, if you were in the legislature, that was going to determine whether the Tea Party was going to support or oppose you. I'm sorry, when you're in the legislature, your role is to govern.
And Mr. Hoogendyk wanted to go rhino hunting. I think that is really what the line that an awful lot of people remember, R-I-N-O, open. He wanted to declare open season on Republicans in name only.
Right. And who is he or Trucker Randy or Doug Sedenquist or Wes Nakagiri to decide who is a true Republican or Republican in name only? And look, the record for these guys has not been good. I pointed out to Jack in my letter to him that he's tried rhino hunting before. He's lost. Every time since he left the House, when he's run for office on his quote-unquote rhino hunting mission against Congressman Upton. Trucker Randy Bishop lost in a primary.
Tell us more about Trucker Randy and the other fellow.
Doug Sedenquist.
Doug Sedenquist.
There are two individuals who have been very successful at somehow or other making themselves appear to be leaders whose voices matter. One of them, and both of them, are from the northwest part of the state, Randy Bishop and Doug Sedenquist. They had a radio show. I don't think it's on the air anymore. I think it's an internet show right now. But they've been very loud, very boisterous, very attacking, ad hominem, no basis for many of the attacks that they've fostered. Trucker Randy started a campaign against the Senate Majority Leader, and that was beat back and with a threat of a lawsuit. And you look at these guys, I mean, Trucker Randy has a rap sheet. He's got multiple instances of non-payment of child support. He's been convicted of defrauding investors in real estate deals. His radio co-host, Doug Sedenquist, was just arrested in Wisconsin after a standoff with police where he threatened to shoot himself. I mean, you know, these guys are like the dark side of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I mean, why should anybody listen to anything that these guys have to say at all?
And yet they're under the same umbrella that you are.
Well, look, democracy is open. Anybody that wants to run for precinct delegate, attend a party convention, I take my hat off to them, because democracy does not work very well when people don't participate. What I don't like is when people use the positions that they work themselves into not to inspire, not to motivate, not to talk about the good things that the Republican Party stands for, but to basically appoint themselves as arbiters of what is a conservative and attack each other. The point I made to Jack Hoogendyk, if you'll recall reading my email letter to him, is the goal is to beat Democrats, to control gavels, to help push our agenda by electing majorities, not to beat each other up.
Let's revisit this discussion of a challenge to Lieutenant Governor Calley at the convention next year. We mentioned Wes Nakagiri earlier of the Tea Party group Retake Our Gov over in Heartland, Michigan. Here is Wes Nakagiri back in July on WKAR-TV's Off the Record.
His inner circle, you know, folks like Bill Rustem, a gentleman named Baird, and much more. I'm told by longtime insiders that those people are, you can't really categorize them as conservatives. I mean, Rustem was part of the Milliken administration, and I wouldn't consider Milliken a conservative. So the governor gets all his advice from the less conservative part of the spectrum. We think it would be better policy making if he had advice from somebody who had conservative values.
And we just want to clarify his inner circle. He's referring to Governor Snyder when he says that. You disagree with that, then? You maintain that there's nothing wrong with Lieutenant Governor Calley and the governor being very much in sync on policy?
No, there's nothing, not only nothing wrong, I think it's required. The governor sets policy. People around him are charged with helping him to enact policy. You listen to what Wes said, I'm told that Dennis Muchmore and Bill Rustin, who, by the way, are personal friends of mine, Rich Barrett, I have only met and respect his professional accomplishments greatly, are wonderful people. They're strategic, they're tactical, they understand the system. And why would you base an opinion that then manifests itself in an attack on the governor and the lieutenant governor based on second and third hand conjecture and innuendo? Has he ever sat down with Dennis Muchmore or Bill Rustin or Rich Baird and actually talked to them about their views? I doubt they'd speak with him. But why would you conduct and organize a campaign to basically replace the governor's pick for lieutenant governor based on secondhand information and innuendo and conjecture and ad hominem attacks by people that are of very questionable reputation?
We're talking with Steve Linder of Lansing's Sterling Corporation. Sterling advises the Senate Majority Republican Caucus at the Capitol. The governor got some good news yesterday from a Free Press WXYZ-TV poll that indicates an 8 percentage point lead over likely candidate Mark Schauer. What did you think when you saw that spread?
Well, it's not surprising. This governor and his allies in the legislature, the Senate Majority Leader, Speaker of the House, and their caucuses have enacted a breathtaking legislative agenda. I mean, even Governor Engler commented that he's never seen a more comprehensive, aggressive set of major policy initiatives ever in the state of Michigan, and he was credited with having a breathtaking agenda himself. I mean, if you look at all of the things that we've done, it's really quite staggering. And it's not surprising that he's doing well against Mark Schauer. I mean, look, the Dems have put two very weak candidates as their standard bearers at the top of the ticket in Mark Schauer and Gary Peters. Mark Schauer lost to the people in a district where the people know him the best, his congressional district, to Tim Walberg. That was his last campaign, was a losing campaign in his hometown. Gary Peters lost his attorney general race to Mike Cox. He did get elected to Congress. So the record of both of these individuals running for office is not good.
And that accounts for the 8 percentage point difference, you think, in the poll? Is that primarily is what in play?
No, I think the governor is doing well because people understand that the governor is starting to lead Michigan back by instilling sound management principles into state government that are now accounting for an increase in commerce and jobs.
This 8 percentage point lead comes 9 months after an absolute eruption of protest in Lansing over the passage of right to work.
You mean freedom to choose.
Freedom to choose.
Yeah, that's right.
Freedom to work, freedom to whatever we want
that's
to call
right.
it. It
that's
gets
right.
called an awful
that's,
lot of different things.
That's right.
Very interestingly enough. What's going on there, though? 9 months after an eruption on the state Capitol grounds that we haven't seen the likes of for many years, and an 8 percentage point lead. It surprised me, I will admit.
Well, the number of people that work in organized labor these days is at an all-time low. I think labor and the Dems rolled the dice on this one issue, thinking it was going to be divisive, and they lost. People of Michigan understand that there is a private relationship between employees and employers, and I think the people of Michigan finally understand that while organized labor at one time was a benefit, it is now a liability to expanding commerce in Michigan.
We've got less than a minute, Stephen. I would like to get your take on the Free Press XYZ poll from Epic MRA, actually conducted the poll, on the apparent dead heat between Republican Terry Lynn Land and Democrat Gary Peters.
Again, Gary Peters is in office right now. Terry Lynn Land was not in office, but she is a statewide office holder. And I think the fact that the Dems have touted Gary Peters as the savior of Carl Levin's seat, and right now he's struggling against somebody who hasn't been in office for a couple of years and just starting up a campaign, is a very, very bad sign for Gary Peters.
Yes or no, would you have preferred Mike Rogers or Dave Camp to be running for U.S. Senate?
I prefer who is ever going to win the nomination.
We will interpret that however we...
That's right.
Very good. Steve Linder is the co-founder of the Sterling Corporation. He works on strategy for Michigan's Senate Republican Caucus. Good conversation, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.